I didn't see myself finishing the lap around the track when I was out there. I mean, I get halfway around the track, I can hardly breathe, and I'm saying, how am I going to get back to where I started my run today so I can get in my car and go home? So, no, I mean, 6 years ago, I never even saw myself as an athlete. I didn't know adaptive athletics were a thing.
Hey, I'm Van Tucker. The Socket is a podcast about improving the quality of life of amputees, featuring conversations with the global amputee community. Today we have Patrick Presgrove from Houston, Texas. Patrick is the COO of Team Catapult, a nonprofit aiming to catapult physical challenge athletes over adversity into endurance sports. He's also a mind over matter athlete. He was on the 2018 Hangers Clinic Elite Athlete Team. He's also a Hanger Clinic Ambassador. Patrick has completed a handful of marathons and full marathons, including the 2019 Boston Marathon, where he qualified for the following year. He's completed the nearly 200-mile overnight Texas Independence Rally with Catapult 3 times. In this episode, we'll dive deep with Patrick to learn his personal story from his amputation to entering the world of endurance sports. Let's dive in. So hi, Patrick. Welcome to the Socket. So today I'm really excited to have you here. You know, it's been about 2 years since I came across you in Team Catapult. Actually, I think it was on Instagram, and I was like super impressed of how you guys are focused on lifestyle, of health, you know, fitness to, you know, physically challenge individuals so they can enter the world of endurance sports. So my first question for you is, how did you get started with endurance sports and Team Catapult? I'd love you to kind of talk us through your journey.
All right. Some background on myself. I was born with a rare birth defect. I was born with a cleft lip and a cleft palate and extreme deformities in my legs. I had a lot of operations just to help me walk, and a lot of them were not working. By the time I was 13, I was in a wheelchair full-time, meaning at home and at school. So at age 14, I had elective amputation of both of my legs above the knee. And, I mean, the sky's the limit ever since then. I've done more as an amputee than I ever could have before. As far as endurance sports, I have been an amputee until about 5 years ago, and I applied for a grant from the Challenge Athlete Foundation for running prostheses, and they granted them to me, and I ended up putting them away in my closet for about a year. So that was probably 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
5 years ago, a mutual friend, or a friend of mine who was also an amputee, who's actually a freestyle Paralympian, we go to the same clinic here in Houston, and we became friends through my clinician. And he encouraged me and talked to me and said, why are you using your running legs? I mean, some people will never have that opportunity, and they granted them to you for free. And, you know, I kind of pulled my head out of my ass and I said, all right, let's start using them. So about 5 years ago, I started running. I was running about, you know, 50 meters at a time, and I was out of breath. And back then, I was going to the University of Houston, so I'd go to the UH track, the indoor track, and I'd go run laps as many as I could, and I'd maybe run a mile in, you know, 45 minutes with taking a break so often. And eventually, I worked up my endurance and started going to there's a running hub here in Houston called Memorial Park where, you know, a lot of the runners go to train. I started going out there, and that's where I really found a sense of community in the running community. And it also got me running outdoors, which is a whole other animal, especially down here in the South with the heat and the humidity. If anything, it makes you stronger. So I kept at it. Up my mileage, you know, per run, per week. And that's where I ran into a nonprofit here that my friend was a part of called Team Catapult here in Houston. They actually formed the year I started running, and I didn't find them until late 2016. And what they are is a community, Houston-based, but they serve anyone in the U.S. and international adaptive athletes. And they provide training and funding and, most importantly, a sense of community around adaptive athletes that are anywhere in their journey from where I was 5 years ago to where I am now to where my friend is as a Paralympian. And they pushed me and motivated me, and I ran my first 5K in 2017 in about 44 minutes, which was, you know, a huge improvement from a year or so before where I couldn't run a mile in 45 minutes.
That's what I was thinking. And that you did a 45-minute mile, so that's a big improvement.
It's enormous. I mean, they talk about the runner's high. There's not much like that first race that you complete, whether it's fast or slow, your best or your worst. I mean, you can't beat it. I remember the Memorial Park here in Houston is a 3-mile loop on a gravel trail, and I remember the very first time I ran that without stopping, which was not long before that first 5K race, and that was an incredible feeling. So we just kept building on that momentum of that first 5K, and I ran I think my next official race was a 12K here in December of 2017. I think it was mid-December. It was about 90 degrees out, 100% humidity. Felt nothing like Christmas. I think I ran that 12K in about 45 minutes. So that was a real big improvement. Kept going on that. And here we are years later. I've done 3 marathons. I think 9 or 10 half marathons. I just PR'd my half marathon in March before the COVID-19 virus came through and shut everything down. And now the sky's the limit. I also became a triathlete about 2 years ago. I've done a half Ironman and a bunch of smaller stuff. And now I'm just trying to give back. I found the Catapult in 2016. I started volunteering a lot of my time in 2018. And as of January this year, I'm the COO of Catapult. And I see a lot of growth, and we have a long way to go to try to help as many people as we can, but that's my mission now, is just trying to give back.
That's exciting, you know, how you just kept going and going and going at those distances. And at first, I bet, how did it feel like when you were first running on the track, you know, when you're in college and trying to do that 1 mile? Would you ever see yourself really actually doing a marathon?
No. I didn't see myself finishing the lap around the track when I was out there. I mean, I get halfway around the track, I can hardly breathe, and I'm saying, how am I going to get back to where I started my run today so I can get in my car and go home? So, no. I mean, 6 years ago, I never even saw myself as an athlete. I didn't know adaptive athletics were a thing. I barely ever heard of the Paralympics. So, no, I never saw anything in my future as far as where I am now.
Yeah, and so how did you do it? So how did you kind of set your mindset, like, hey, I'm actually going to do this? Did you set some goals, or what was kind of your method of actually getting the courage to actually do these big milestones that felt impossible at the time?
A large part of it was the community around me, the team I have here with Catapult, and my family and friends, and a lot of friends I wouldn't have had without the Houston running community. And now with the internet, you know, you can have a community anywhere, which is what I'm trying to help build for Catapult and myself. That's a lot of the motivation right there. And then once you start hitting these milestones, hopefully you take a step back and you realize how far you've come. And you say, well, I didn't come this far to stop now, so what's next?
That's true. And then, so what's your typical
day routine for when training for a marathon or running? Do you have a regimen that you kind of got doing, or what's your kind of routine that you do?
I'm honestly not a great marathon trainer. I love running half marathons, so I'm a much better, more motivated to train for that. Running a marathon is not fun, and training for it's really not fun. But if I was in the thick of even half marathon training, the goal is for me to run, you know, hopefully every other day. As an above knee amputee, it really takes a toll on your residual limbs over time once you start running, and a lot of that comes down to the fit of your socket. Luckily, I have a very very good clinician, and we've gotten my socket fit, you know, almost perfect. So if I wanted to run every day, I could. Then it just becomes a question of, well, how much can you beat up your body? I mean, training, my training and an average, you know, another average able-bodied person training is not the same, because I'm running with parts of my body that are not meant to walk on, nevertheless run on. You know, you're not going to run a marathon on your knees, but that's exactly what I'm doing when I'm out there running. So it's just a question of recovery, and some of it's the weather. So it's a little demoralizing trying to run when it's 98 degrees out at 7 p.m. down here in Houston. So it's a lot easier to train in the fall. So the goal would be for me to run every other day, long run once a week on the weekend, and trying to mix up your workouts with some speed work and some easy mileage just for time on your feet, and then a long run once a week to really get time on your feet.
Got it. That's great. And so for like an amputee, just they may be not in running or in any type of endurance sports, they may came across and they're interested in. So what's like the best tip you would give someone that's wishing just to get started?
The hardest part is getting started. I mean, I had no reason, no excuse to not use the running prosthesis that were granted to me by CAF. And that was all mental. And it wasn't until I started that I realized running became a form of meditation, and I learned a lot about myself and a lot of things that I didn't realize were going on in my own life when I was going through them. It took something like running to kind of flesh those out and help me relax and reflect on it all. So it's you really can't get to that point until you start. So the hardest part is starting. So get over yourself doubt. I mean, hopefully there's not anyone in your life telling you you can't do it. I have no one in my life telling me that. But a lot of it for myself was just myself getting over myself and my own self-doubt. So once I started, the sky was the limit. I mean, there's no reason I can't do anything I want to now. And now I understand that. And it was taking those first steps to put myself out there and become vulnerable and make myself open to failure that taught me a lot and toughened me up. And here we are now.
That's awesome. You know, just taking that first step is always the hardest part of anything. Once you get started, it's kind of, you got the momentum rolling. So one thing is, how has your life been affected since you started running? Your overall just life?
I can't say enough good things about it. I mean, I'm happier. It took running to help me understand and come to terms with the fact that I had depression. I mean, I never really understood that I may be depressed as a teenager or a young adult. It wasn't until running when I, you know, started finding real inner happiness that I understood where I'm coming from. Like, what are you leaving in the past right now as you progress forward? So that is the impact it's had on my life, and it's made me more outgoing. I mean, I never would talk to anyone new before I became an endurance athlete and really was welcomed with open arms in our local endurance community. And it taught me that, I mean, I'm out there running the same race as everyone else, and they treat me exactly the same way. So it really got me out of my shell and helped me work through some things that I didn't realize I was going through at the time. And I can't say enough about the positive impacts on my life now.
That's incredible. You know, that's what is amazing, what, you know, just getting out and running can do to someone, you know, just being part of the community and also just kind of getting into something that you never thought was possible. So it's great that that impact you've had, because that's kind of a similar impact I've learned from others, is what sports does and running or communities kind of makes you keep on moving, and also much better well-being. So so kind of going it back into some of your comfort, you know, you said you have, like, you know, your socket is now feeling fit. You know, how do you kind of manage comfort of your socket when you're running and sweat and things like that? Do you have what's kind of your practices that you kind of learned throughout your journey?
I've learned that if you're sweat, well, I use a suction suspension system. So I put on a liner on my limb and put it in my socket, and there's a one-way air valve at the end of it, so it pushes air out when I put my leg in and will not let air back in. So if anything happens to that seal or that valve, either at the top or at the top near my midsection or at the end of my limb, where that valve is, if anything happens to that, that's where I would suction. And I've learned two things from all my running, where if there's any movement, any room, any air in your socket, that is magnified by the fact that your leg, as above me, well, and below me, as an amputee, your leg in your socket is basically like a piston. It's going up and down. So the tighter the fit, the more your socket moves with your leg. If you move your leg up, hopefully your socket is going with it, and there's not any amount of space between the where your leg and the bottom of your socket are. Any movement in there becomes like a jackhammer on the end of your limb. So even a few millimeters of space in there, when you come off the ground and you land, you're basically pile driving your knee into a carbon fiber socket, and you might not even feel it at the moment. Most of the time I don't, until after, and my leg would swell up and I couldn't put my leg on the next day. So I've really dialed in my fit with my clinician, saying, hey, I need room in here for my leg to swell while I'm running, and we need to find a happy medium, because while I'm running, I don't need any extra room in here allowing space, which, you know, like I said, becomes a jackhammer effect, where you're basically just pounding the end of your limb into your socket. And the other thing I've realized is if you're sweating profusely in your liner, that means there's probably air in there. If your liner is in full contact with your skin, you should not have a sweat problem. And I sweat a lot. And it wasn't until I found the right liner that I realized, oh, my liner wasn't thinning properly. It was allowing air in there, and it was allowing condensation. And anywhere sweat can pool, it will. So that's how your leg will come off, whether you're just walking around or running or whatever. So those are the two main things I've learned. So now I'm in the right liner, my socket fits right, and we're ready to go. We're good to go now. I'm running marathons.
That's awesome. You know, that's one thing we've always seen, you know, it's kind of one of our taglines is like the perfect fit, you know, that's what, and you know, your liner and the fit is one of the most important parts. You know, you could have the best runner foot, you can have, you know, ankle, you can have a knee, but if you don't have a good fit, you know, that is the most important part.
And to build on that a little more, I walk around on two Autobot ski lengths, and, you know, I couldn't afford these on my own. So one ski length probably more than my car is worth. And that doesn't matter if my socket doesn't fit right. I know people that are granted, you know, top-of-the-line microprocessor knees, and they don't wear them. They don't walk in them because they have so many problems with their socket. And it all comes, I tell this to everyone that I talk to about prosthetics, that it all comes down to communication, where the more you can tell your clinician, the better. I mean, I can't put a value or emphasis on that enough. The more information, the more you tell them what's loose, what's too tight, what hurts, what feels good, and why it feels like that, the better, because that's the only way you get the best fit out of your socket. And your socket is what makes your prosthesis a part of you. It's not the knee itself. You know, the knee is bolted onto your socket. The socket is the most important part of your whole operation, your whole outfit, your whole prosthesis.
Yeah, so, you know, for someone that may be just getting ready to get like a runner leg, and do you have any tips of how they can, you know, note down feedback and to get the, you know, to get the fit better for their condition?
Take as many mental notes as you can, and not just when you're running, when you're walking. If you're wearing the same socket to run as you are to walk, which is what I do, then you should always be, you know, analyzing how your fit is. You want the best fit from day to day, hour to hour, whether you're walking or running. So I used to have separate sockets for running and walking, and that makes it a little more challenging, because now you have to hopefully get two pairs of sockets to fit you really well, which is very hard. So advice, try to be as specific as possible when you're talking to your clinician about what is good and what's bad, what's working and what's not.
Awesome. And, you know, what do you wish you'd have known when you got your amputation at 24? Something that really just stood out, and it took you a few years to find out, and like, man, I wish I knew that from the beginning. So what do you wish you'd known when you first got your amputation?
Three things. One, that I'm not alone, that I'm not the only person out there that's like me. And some of that comes down to the internet and it becoming more prevalent. There's no way you would know who's out there without the internet, outside of your own circle or whoever your clinician can hopefully introduce you to. I wish I had known that I'm not the only one going through what I'm going through. Another thing would be, I wish I knew how welcoming so many communities would be to a person with disabilities. So I not only have a physical disability where that affects how I walk and how I get around, I also have one with my speech impediment, and it makes new people, makes it a little harder for them to understand me right away. And I wish I knew that doesn't really matter to a lot of people. And some people might respect you more for putting yourself out there as someone with disability. So those are two of the main things I wish I knew when I became an amputee. And this is coming from someone who's been disabled their whole life. I've been an amputee since 2004, but I've been disabled my whole life. And it wasn't until I became an amputee that I realized there's more people like me, because now I wasn't someone that just was in a wheelchair at home and at school. Now I go to a clinician that has other amputees, and he introduced me and more people like me. And then I became an athlete, and now I'm friends with, I try to be friends with everyone. So a lot of your self-doubt and things that you're hung up on are only being created by yourself and your own whatever you have going on. So the experience that's out there is so much bigger than yourself. And you really start seeing that once you're in a place where you can start giving back. And then you can start recognizing, oh, wow, this person, that person is right now where I was a few years ago. So that's what really makes you appreciate it. And that's what makes you say, wow, I wish I had something like the nonprofit I'm part of when I was coming up. So especially now, as in the age of the internet, I mean, you can find a community for anything that you like or don't like, or don't know you don't like or don't know you like yet. So there's not really a reason not to know that you're not alone anymore just because of the internet. If you have access to the internet, and all it takes is one person to point you in a direction to the community that's out there. And that's what happened to me. And I'm in a much better place because of it.
That's awesome. And, kind of going through that, from the whole, because you had your whole life. So it's kind of exciting to see how, the whole community is kind of from 2004 and how you've kind of been growing with that as well. That's awesome to hear. So kind of going back to Team Catapult, you're part of it, you became, you said that I think the chief operating officer this year. How with the whole COVID-19, a lot of the running events have been kind of flipped upside down around the whole entire world. So I was just wondering, how you were kind of adopting that. I see you guys maybe doing some virtual classes. How you guys are adopting, kind of keeping your mission rolling even during these changing times.
You're right. We've done a lot of virtual events. And there's other nonprofits that we're partners with, and they're friends of ours. And you see them at all the same major events, that we're all going through the same time right now. So we're all trying to work together. So we're adopting virtual events. We're trying to partner with other nonprofits. And if there's something they can offer that we can't, we try to steer our audience that way, and vice versa. Luckily, we have a grant program that funds adaptive athletes, very similar to what CAS does, which is how I became an athlete in the first place. This is our third year in a row of our grant program, and luckily a lot of that's done online, and that's how we're able to serve adaptive athletes all over the U.S. and abroad, thankfully. So really it's just an adaptation of, well, we can't meet up anymore. So we usually have weekly in-person run meetups, and we can't have those at the moment. So we went virtual and said, okay, one of our partner nonprofits is hosting virtual sessions every night, or this night of the week. So we'll host some things on the other nights of the week, and just be there as a community more than anything, even if we're not hands-on right now. Just try to stay prevalent and let everyone know we're still here. If you need a community, we're here for you. And on top of that, here's some things we're going to offer you from the comfort of your own home. So that's kind of how we're pivoting and adapting everything going on right now.
Awesome. And then, Team Catapult, Can you tell me more about what you guys offer and your mission? I know you guys have the actual team and you guys do a lot of other things. So can you tell me more about it?
So they were founded in 2015 by a couple triathletes and runner guys here in Houston. And they actually brought on my friend who's a Paralympian named Mark Barr. They brought him on for a lot of consulting, like, what does this community need and why isn't it happening and how can we make it happen? So Mark was very, very instrumental in their formation. Their mission is very similar to CAF, Challenge Athlete Foundation, out of California, where they provide funding for adaptive athletes. So if you need equipment, adaptive equipment like running legs or a hand cycle or a racing wheelchair, et cetera, or if you want to go compete and you can't afford to do it on your own, or if you want to train and you can't afford to train, then that's what they're there for. So that's their primary mission. That's done through their programming, which is their grant program. They started a sponsored athlete team, so which is more of the elite team. As of last year, they have an ambassador program, which is for anyone, and that's really to just help raise awareness with people that are highly active and visible in their community. They team up with us, and we send them some swag and say, hey, wear our stuff when you're training and when you're racing. And hopefully people see you run by and say, oh, what's Catapult?
Yeah, because you guys is, you know, your swag is pretty nice. You know, your hat, your shirts is very on brand, you know, very nice.
Thank you. We appreciate it. And we've put a lot of work into it. And there's a lot of, I'll call it friendly. There's a lot of friendly debates behind the scenes on what we want. So the final product always comes out pretty good. So we're happy with it. But that's our mission, is to serve adaptive athletes how they need to be served. And if you're someone like myself where I didn't know I needed to be served because I didn't know a community like this existed, well, hopefully you come across us or one of our athletes and you come into our community and then you say, oh, wow, these other people like me or who are going through even more challenges than I am are out here killing it. So how do I do that? Well, you're in the right place. If you need money, we have money. If you need a weekly workout, well, if you're in our area, come on out. If you want to learn how to guide and be a guide for a blind runner, or you want to learn how to ride a tandem bicycle, either pilot or stoker, come on out. If you want to try some adaptive equipment for the first time, if we don't have it, we'll find it. Come on out. That's what we're here for. That is their mission.
That's incredible. So, you know, as we've gone through this, you know, journey, has there been any, like, books or influential people that really helped you out?
Well, I can't say enough about my friends and family. My wife, she's been there with me since the year I got my amputation. So she's pretty much the foundation of, you know, nearly everything I do. And then you have my family that helped me get to a point where I could become successful in what I'm aiming for. I never thought I was going to fail because I didn't have what I need as far as access to equipment or the right doctors or, you know, things like that, which was it was really an amalgamation of a lot of things behind the scenes that my family went above and beyond to make sure I was in the right place at the right time. And then I can't talk enough about my friend Mark, who really pushed me to put myself out there in the first place. And he was one of the people that, once I learned how to run well enough to go outside and, you know, not worry about falling, Mark would go on runs with me. And you're talking about a unilateral above the amputee who's going to the Olympics for triathlon. So this guy can run, and he's over here running 14, 15-minute miles with me just to helped me out just because he wants to. So I can't talk highly enough about him. And then the people that Brownie Catapult and other nonprofits around the U.S. that have helped me out, I could name you a handful. CAF that has given me multiple grants. They granted me my first pair of running legs. They granted me my own hand cycle, which is a big barrier to entry on top of your prosthesis if you want to be either an adaptive cyclist or a paratriathlete. You need some kind of bike to do a triathlon, and I couldn't afford my own. So on top of other nonprofits that either let me borrow one or loaned me one for a little while, CAF actually granted me my own. And then there's Gary Tri out of Chicago, who is a their main mission is getting adaptive athletes into paratriathlon. They're huge friends of ours here at Catapult. Wiggle Your Toes Foundation, when I broke a running blade of mine 2 years ago, they granted me a whole new set of Autobot running legs, running feet, out of the kindness of their heart. They didn't have any open grant application. The right people made the right calls, and they went there for me. The list goes on, but yeah, there's a long list of people I could thank.
Well, that's awesome to hear all the, all of it keeps kind of circling back to the community that you've mm-hmm. got a part of. It's just a huge community that's been helping you out, and at first you wasn't even aware it existed. So it seems like it's kind of an ongoing topic that you've written about, from these nonprofits to Team Catapult and your family and friends, it's the whole community.
It really is. And your question earlier was what helps you get where you are? Well, that is it. It's your community. And some of that community I built on my own, and some of that was right in front of me the whole time I never knew it. So as much of achieving your goals is putting in the work yourself and telling yourself, I can, and making it happen, there's a lot that goes into that that you might not even be aware of, that, maybe you have a goal of achieving this thing. Well, there's people that put on that thing that you're aiming to accomplish. Maybe it's a race. Well, there's a lot of people that make that race happen that you're aiming for. So it's all a community. And the more people you know, the better. The more people you're friends with, the better. So, and you really start noticing that the more you start giving back your own time and energy, where you start seeing these things pay off, where when you were coming up, you were benefiting from other people's time and energy and generosity. And once you start giving back, you start seeing your time and energy pay off in the form of someone coming up from where you were. And that's really the best part.
Yep, I agree 100%. And that's one of my missions here, kind of doing this podcast, is kind of me giving back and trying to get people just to really get in touch with the community side. So kind of getting towards the end here, I was wondering, is there anything I should have asked but I didn't ask so far?
Not that I can think of, man. You're a good interviewer. I don't know.
Thanks. Well, so as we're getting to, it's been awesome to have you on this podcast today. You're an inspiration to, everyone out here in the community, just how you've been able to push the limits, going from, running a 40-minute mile that you thought you weren't able to finish to actually going and doing marathons. And I believe you said a 3K in about 40 minutes. So that's incredible that you've been able to, kind of break those barriers and, then also be part of this community that really helped you, and you've been helping, many others as well. So how can audience find you and connect with you?
Well, I'm most visible on Instagram if you want the fastest way to connect with me. And just put in my name. It's Patrick Presgrove, Presgrove, and I'll send you the links to put in your show description if you like. But really, if you want the best way to be a part of the community we're building, go to teamcatapult.org and find us on Instagram and Facebook. And if you reach out to us, I'm the one that's responding to you. So if you reach out to Catapult, I'll answer your question. If you need help, let me know. And I'll find, if I can't give you the answer, I know someone that does. If you find me on any of those places, you'll get a hold of me.